Hello, I'm Jill Moss. I'm a Royal Navy Warfare Officer and I work at the Maritime Warfare Centre in Portsmouth. As part of my role within the MWC, I deal with operational planning and as part of that I run the initial Maritime Warfare course, which takes a wide selection of personnel from across the Royal Navy who are due to join their ships predominantly as heads of departments, so logistics officer, weapon engineering officers, marine engineering officers, but also those that are joining other units as well, like the mine warfare officers, aviators, the civil servants, and also reservists. And we also do have sometimes foreign NATO nations also join as well, which is great because it means that we have a real mix of different trades and experiences and knowledge as well, which is where most of the learning's done. As part of this course, we get them to do sort of an operational planning scenario, and I divide them into like a red cell and a blue cell because I find that actually it's quite good for kind of creative thinking and to really get people to sort of think outside the box as well. And we introduced also a course of action wargaming as well as a way for people to really kind of look at their courses of action. It's been really interesting to do this because, you know, as with most things when it comes to wargaming, I think people have a preconceived kind of idea about what it is and what it is going to bring or what it's not going to bring in that. And as most things, you have the left to the right of arc people, so you have those that the arms are folded, the body language is saying, you know, we're just really not into this at all, don't really kind of get it, maybe don't understand what it's going to bring to the table. You have those that are kind of in the middle that are like, well, I'm not quite sure, but you know what, I'll give it a go. Maybe they might have done a bit before, so actually they're quite happy to do it. And then you've got those fully enthusiastic people that are like, yes, let's get all the counters on the table and do all this and get everything going. And we have that. But I must admit, by the end of the session that we do with them, the majority of them do understand the importance of COA wargaming, and they can see kind of where it fits in with operational planning and also the benefits that it can bring as well. The big thing was for us was also to show that it's not a big timely thing either, and that you don't need lots of resources to do it, but it's something that can be done quite quickly and swiftly, especially when the teams are up to speed. But there is one kind of syndicate that I'd like to talk about that we played back in kind of 2019 that still sticks in the brain now, if you like to speak. They were a really good syndicate as well. And they kind of went, okay, we'll do this sort of COA wargaming. And as you go around that, you ask them how they're getting on. And at the end of it, I found out that they'd run out this one course of action 5 times. It was their course of action 1, which is normally most people's preferred one because it's the first one that they think of, so therefore it's got to be the right one and everything else like that. And I asked them, you know, why did you run through this one 5 times? And they said, well, the first time we did it, we lost and got annihilated, but we just thought that was because we didn't understand wargaming, maybe, or maybe we got a few things wrong. So they ran it through a second time. They lost and got annihilated again. So they thought, oh, you know, maybe there's something within the parameters that we've got that's not right. So they ran it through a third time. The third time this time, they just lost. So I think they thought maybe that could be a winning streak and the turn of the tables, and maybe next time we'll win it. And the fourth time they ran it out, they lost and got annihilated. Need I say, the fifth time they ran it out, they lost and they got annihilated again. They said at that point they decided that their course of action 1, which was their kind of preferred course of action, maybe wasn't the one that was going to win them the objectives that were put down within the scenario. I got them to brief the whole course the next day because I thought it was quite important that people saw about how they'd ran through the war game and what they'd done and why it was their preferred one. It didn't work. My boss also kind of just queried why I'd got them to brief a course of action that clearly was going to fail. And I said it was an important one for the teaching for the course, but also that if the, you know, my boss then, who was like, you know, the CEO of the Red Cell, and then decided that he wanted to kind of do all-out war against the adversary that we were up against, actually it wasn't going to work. Or if he did, then he needed to understand that the risk was, you know, he was definitely going to lose, but also, you know, probably also get annihilated as well and therefore lose all of his forces. And if you're looking for a longer campaign, then maybe that wasn't the right time to do that. That might be something later on to consider, which he then fully understood, obviously, and kind of said, yeah, I agree. But they're the one that kind of sticks in the mind most, 5 times to run out of course of action. I thought it was quite impressive to lose 5 times, but 4 times out of 5 to get annihilated. Don't really think that's your right code to choose. And they didn't, which was great. Anyway, that's my little story on course of action, which I see as an absolute win. Thank you very much. Bye.